much of a deal. Why what? Yeah. You know, I really don't know. It is a very, very strong question. Because, again, the shot is like this. You could be mefakvik. You could argue, is it techeles, is it not techeles, right? You could argue this. You could say the rayas are not good rayas, etc. But let's say it's not techeles. What is the chisaron if I wear a blue string that's not techeles? It doesn't passel the lavan, and tzitzis can be different colors. You can wear green tzitzis, pink tzitzis, orange tzitzis. I can wear blue tzitzis. So some want to say, well, there is a takala like this, that real techeles is deicha, because since techeles has to be wool, and there's no other way you could have it, so if you have a linen garment, you're allowed to put woolen techeles, because of esei docha lo saseh. But if it's only lavan, you couldn't do that, because lavan, you could have put pishtan instead. So they're afraid, if you paskin, that this is techeles, and it's not, people might be over the esur shakas. But that's a very rachak dik gezeira, because first of all, how many talesim are made of linen anyway? None of them are. So, So, your kasha is a very strong kasha. It's bothered me for many years. I don't understand. Even if you're only, let's say there's a 5% chance that this might be techeles. So you might be doing a mitzvah. And if it's 95% not techeles, you're not doing any aveira. So if you're not doing an aveira, if it's not techeles, and you're doing a mitzvah if it is techeles, then misafek, you should put on techeles. So all of a sudden, the lishpah should become a kuvalim, for this purpose, all of a sudden. And they say, oh, but the Arizal says that, you know, we're not going to discover techeles until Yemosu Mashiach. All right. I mean, do you use the Arizal to be mevatel a possibility of a mitzvah saseh min ha-tayra, pashtus not? And then the briskers say that techeles has to be through mesira, and once we don't have a mesira, what type of rule is that? I mean, we have a chiyuv to do mitzvahs. And if we don't have a mesira, we're still mechuyev to try to do a mitzvah. So if we don't know, so good, we don't know. But where do you see that once a mesira is lost, the gabi a mitzvah the araisa, you're not mishtadel to be mashlum the mitzvah the araisa? I'm just strengthening your kasha, I'm not answering it. So I really don't know. I mean, I once heard a cheshbon that because there's such a suffix here, Rabbi Yashiv was afraid that B'nai Torah would bankrupt themselves Chelus is expensive, and he said it wasn't kedai to put such a chiyuv on them because it was suffek. On the other hand, what about lulav and esrog? I mean, what is the money, the amount of money people spend on lulav and esrog? Right? It's probably in many cases more than it's one sitters with one thing with the chelus would cost. So it's a bit of a tzarachi, and I have not seen. I mean, I've heard different reasons. I have not seen any good swara why we shouldn't wear techeles. So I very much want to wear techeles, but on the other hand, I tell myself, once again, if they don't do it, then I guess I'm not supposed to do it. But I don't understand why. It's a big, big concussion. Yeah, there are, but one of them we know is not techeles. The first one in modern times that claimed to have discovered techeles was the Radziner Rebbe, Rav Gershon Henoch Liner, very, very chashuv, a big, big, big Talmud Chacham. He's called the Baal HaTcheles. In fact, one thing he wrote, nothing to do with Tcheles, is a fascinating thing, which is very controversial. He wrote a Gemara, or he was Ma'asef, a Gemara on Kalim and Olas. What did he do? He took the Mishnayos of Kalim and Olas. He was Ma'asef on every Mishnah, everywhere in Shas, not just only Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Sifri, you know, Teres Kayanim, he was Ma'azef, and he actually made it like a Shaka Vataria. So you have, on all of these Mishnayos, just to give you an example of how big it is, so Maseches Kalim, which anyway is 30 Prakim, it's the biggest single Masechta in Shas, so Maseches Kalim is like 300 blots, Maseches Olos is 240 blots, and in addition, he wrote, so edges out Bava Basra, but in defense, I want to say that the truth of the matter is, the three Bavas are also one Masechta. The three Bavas are Maseches Nezikin. Bava Kama is part 1, Bava Metzia is part 2, Bava Basra is part 3. If you look in the Tosefta of Kalim, which is 30 prakim, you actually see above a kama, above a mitzia, above a basra. So that designation was used both for Seder, for Maseches Nezikin and for Maseches Kelim. But be it as it may, the Radziner also wrote a Perush Rashi on the Gemara, and Tysus, he was Mefalpel. So he put together this thing, tremendous Eloi. This was enormously controversial. In fact, the whole... Well, like anyone else, I mean, even today, people write Svarim on Tyrus. I mean, the Rashi and the... He didn't say it was Rashi and Tysus. These were his Chidushim, so... Yeah. So it's like anyone else. I mean, you know, he's a great gadol, but it's like anyone else. But in terms of the Pnim was only taken from Chazal. He didn't make up any quotes, God forbid. But it was very controversial. Some gedolim were nispoil. This was so amazing. We have a Gemara on Tyrus. You can get this. It's called Sidrei Tyrus. Other Gedolim said, Chas v'shalom, you know, you're making a new Gemara up, even though it's Malakeh, and people are going to think it's directly from Chazal, and therefore, even though you should very definitely publish your Chidushim as a Sefer, but don't do it with a Gemara in the middle, with a Rashi and a Tosfos on the side.
The Gemara, they scan through the Gemara, they find every Rashi that, what's written on the side. Yes. Yeah. Like, when you learn a Gemara, you can read it, the Rashi on the ring, you kind of change the...
Well, but that's legitimate. That's Rashi. Rashi. I mean, that's
not Rashi on this other Rashi. Someone else is messing
it up. So you're saying you shouldn't do that? Well, it might be similar. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was mamish against it. The Netziv loved the Sefer, but the Netziv was very much against it. So it's very, very fascinating. Listen to the Maisa that I just read. This Maisa. This is a crazy, crazy Maisa. Where if you look at the Sidrei Tyrus, he has a lot of haskamas. He has haskamas from Yitzchak Yochanan. He has very good haskamas. And he has a haskama from Rav Chaim Berlin. Rav Chaim Berlin, who is the Netziv's oldest son, a very chashuva person. But it would be a Madnazach, I wouldn't have even thought of a kasha. Why did he go to Rav Chaim Berlin, not the Netziv? So the inner story is this. The inner story is, he knew the Netziv. And the Siv already told him he didn't like the idea. But the Radziner had a tremendous pachat that if he'd go ahead and publish it anyway, then the Siv would be mocha publicly. That would destroy his ability to circulate the Sefer. So he gets a haskama from Rav Chaim Berlin, who didn't know that his father expressed reservations. And then the Radziner knew that if there's a haskama of Chaim, then the Siv is not going to say anything at least. So he got, so Rav Chaim Berlin was duped. Again, there's a whole shayla about Kenei Bastasa. I mean, Rav Chaim Berlin was tricked. I mean, he loved the Sefer, but he was not told that his father was misnage to the format of the Sefer. So when the Netziv saw the haskama of his son on the Sefer, he was very upset, and he sent a letter to his son saying, what's going on here? And Rav Chaim was heartbroken that he thought that he did something connected to the Ratzon of his father. So there was a lot of machlokes. But be it as it may, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik broke the logjam by saying that he would be maskim to the Sefer only if on every single page it says, Davor zeh melukat min hatanorim v'amorayim v'ein zeh gemara. So if you look at the Sidrei Tyrus of Eihalos, which was published later, it has Rav Chaim's haskama, and every page has Davor zeh melukat. Kalim doesn't. Kalim doesn't. Okay.
So the
Kutei Rashi is fine. That's fine. Now, this is all digression, although an interesting digression. But the other great thing the Radziner did was the Radziner claimed to have discovered what he thought was the original Techeles, and he wrote a number of svarim going through the simonim of Techeles and how it was identified. And today, the Radziner Techeles is used by Breslov. There are Radziner Chassidim too, but Breslov uses. Now, the Radziner Techeles is not from a shellfish. The Radziner Techeles is a cuttlefish. It's just a fish. It's a non-kosher fish, but that's not a problem. The Chilazon is already identified as non-kosher. But according to most people who have studied this, even scientifically, the Radziner was duped, because essentially the formula of Radziner Techeles is, you take a glandular secretion of this fish, which is colorless, and you add certain chemicals, and that makes it blue, which is fine, but here's what they've shown. Those chemicals will turn anything blue, even if it's water, meaning to say, the dam of the chilazain is not an active ingredient in the process. So what's shaykh? In other words, this dam never turns blue inside itself. It's only because of stuff that you added. And the stuff that you added would turn anything blue. So it turns out that the dam chilazain doesn't have that kayach of blue. So most people think that the Radziner was deceived by a scientist, by a pharmacist, or a chemist, who was dishonest. In fact, Rav Yitzchak Herzog, who was the first chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, had a doctorate, and his doctorate was a study of Techeles, the scientific aspects of Techeles, and he was the one that kind of uncovered this. So the Techeles that the overwhelming majority of people who wear Techeles follow is not the Radziner Techeles, but it's Techeles from a shellfish. And first of all, the mashmos of Chazal clearly is that it's a fish with a hard shell, because it talks about potseya chilaza. Potseya is to crack. You wouldn't call a fish soft fish, cracking the fish and the like. So this Techeles has a much bigger chance of being the emistic Techeles than is the Radziner Techeles.
But I feel...
Well, we find different. Yeah, there are places. If you know, you can read about it. There are places where, in fact, it's interesting. I'll tell you what's interesting is that you know, JLE is starting. You know, JLE here in Arsamath. So I always prepare something to learn. So they wanted something on sitches. So there's actually a booklet. If you can get a hold of a JLE booklet, we included some articles on Techeles and the simanim of Techeles. You can actually see a little bit of that, but. Why the Gedalim did not go forward on Techeles, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the Dati Liumi Rabbanim tend to go, and they tend to advocate for Techeles, right? Their two issues are, more than that, but is go on the Harabayas and have Techeles. You know, that's their big deal. Go on the Harabayas is a much bigger problem. That talk is a Suffolk Kares. But the Haredi, the Gedalim in the Haredi world, the Yeshiva world, don't push the Techeles, and that I don't understand. I hope it's not because anything they do, we don't want to do. I mean, although there's some of that also. If they came up with the idea, it's got to be bad. Yeah, okay, I mean, that would not be a proper hashgacha, I would think. So it's a tzarichin. If anyone gets to talk to Rav Chaim about it, Rav Steinman, you know, you could ask the question. That's a good question. But they'll tell you there's no Messiah, but I push it, don't hear, unless it's a getter of Lemigdor Milsa. There might be a kind of a hashkafa. Okay, you're doing new stuff to do a mitzvah, which is a good thing. That's a good thing. But once you start saying, I'm going to do new things that my forefathers didn't do, so Mimela, maybe they hold that's a pretzas getter for other things. Like, oh, today you wear techeles, tomorrow you'll have woman rabbis. What does nothing to do with the other? But maybe als lemigdor milsa, in a door when people are looking for innovations and chidushim, so maybe it's nichlal that the chachamim held, it's kedai to be mevatel techeles b'shevi altaza, in order to prevent a pretzus in gedarm. Now they don't give that as a reason, but it could be, that might be behind the thinking that you don't want to do something without a mesirah. Because people make cases for women aliyos and women's binyanim, and they say, oh, there's nothing wrong with it just because no one's done it for 2,000 years, but we're in halacha, right? So there is bichlal today in the left-wing Orthodox world a tremendous, tremendous disrespect for the notion of Messiah. In other words, they basically say, if you can't show me that something's lesser in the Shulchan Aruch, I don't care what the Minog Yisrael is. So Mimela, maybe the Gedolim hold that the Techeles has ke'ein, that type of pirtza. But I don't know, it's a real kasha. They tell me Rav Scheinberg, you know, wore his 100 pairs of tzitzis or whatever, that he was machmit to wear one pair with the Techeles. But I don't, again, I don't hear exactly the swarf of one pair. I mean, if you want to be chayshish for the mitzvah, then there should be 100 pairs of tchelis. Like it's not borer what you're doing. And guys ask me here sometimes they want to wear tchelis. So I'm really a little bit at a loss. Some rabbeim just say, if you're not married yet, it's going to hurt your shidduch. Don't do it. Okay, it's a cheshbon. If you're already married, you don't have that excuse. So I don't know. So, yeah. Okay. All right. So this, I do want to do my final thing on Hetzer Mechira. I know we've been marich on this a lot, and it is a big sugya. I just want to go over this, just to understand. We know that Rav Kook didn't invent the concept, but Rav Kook was the one who tried to do it on a wide scale, and this was in the early 1900s, 1920. And again, you have to remember that in Eretz Yisrael at that time, people were dropping dead of starvation. This is not a guzma. People were dying in the streets because they didn't have food. And this is when it wasn't Shemitah. And when it was Shemitah, you know, it was much worse. And Rav Kook emphasizes again and again and again that all of the tserufim that will allow Heter Mechira is because it's a Shas Hatchat Gadol and it's Karov L'Pikuach Nefesh. In fact, that is Bichlau, a big time on the Rabbanut. The Rabbanut has been doing Heter Mechira for 100 years. And L'Chaira, the Matzav in Eretz Yisrael, on any level, is not what the Matzav was. And if Rav Kook would be alive today, it's very, very probable he himself would not have been maskin to the Heter Mechira. Okay, but putting that issue aside, Rav Kook was miyased such a Heter Mechira, and the purpose of the Heter Mechira was to create a mechanism where Jewish farmers would continue to be able to work their land on Shemitah, on the theory that by selling the land to the Goyim, it was Mufka Miktusha, and didn't have the Shemitah prohibitions. Now, yeah. Yeah.
The fact that many of the women would keep Shemitah
they're not really keeping Shemitah. In other words, basically, they're doing what they would, in other words, they're doing what they would do they would do it without Heter Mechira. That's all. It is a cheshbon. But you're correct. It is a cheshbon, and that is, if I have avaryanim who are going to do averus, and I have a mechanism in which there's a chance that it's mutter for them to do it, even if most poskim would say it's still usher. So there is an argument that can be made that it's kedai to be matzil yidden from a chait if there's any chance you're matzil them from a chait, even if most shittas would say it's a chet. That is a cheshbon. But of course, you know, that could be extended to all sorts of unusual situations. Should we be machshir and erev that's only kosher, like a das yochid, because this way the people who are carrying are nisal from a chet? What about the people who are shomer mitzvahs who are going to be nishal because of it? But that's the thing I want to talk about, because all of you know, you hear from the time you've come to Eretz Yisrael, that we don't hold of the Heter Mechira. We don't hold of the Heter Mechira. So I want to be masbir here. What is it that we don't hold of? Meaning, we don't hold of the Heter Mechira. Because there'll be a lot of nafkaminas. Sometimes we don't hold just means the farmer is not allowed to do what he wants to do. But that's not nogeya me. I'm not a farmer. In other words, the issue basically becomes, how do you get from we don't hold of Heter Mechira to I'm not allowed to eat Heter Mechira produce? Does one thing follow from the other? Is one thing even connected to the other? Okay, so there are at least four different things you might mean, and it depends on the pricing. When you say we don't hold of the Heter Mechira or I don't hold of the Heter Mechira, it can mean a few things. Number one, it might mean, although today it does not mean that you hold like the Mabit rather than the Beis Yosef. In other words, the Mabit Shita is that even if you sell land to the Goy, not only the Karka, but even the Peiros have 100% Kedusha Shavias. Right? The Mabit Shita is that since the Ramban Paskins, a Goy's Kenyan is not Mavkiya Kedusha Saaretz, a Goy's Kenyan is not Mavkiya Kedusha Shavias. So possibility number one is you go with the Mabit. But it's a Dover Barur that the Minhag Yerushalayim does not go with the Mabit, because even today, you can buy with the Hashgacha of the Eid HaRedis pay rice that grew in a non-Jewish, an Arab ground, and they tell you it doesn't have Kedusha Shavias. So Hagam that Chazanish's people might be machmer on this, but certainly the Minhag of Yerushalayim, even among the Eid HaRedis Gufa, is that we go like the Beis Yosef, that the Kinyan of the Nochri is Mafkia Kedusha from the Peiris. Okay, so possibility number one is Mabit. Clearly the Minhag Yerushalayim is not like the Mabit. In other words, the Peiris don't have Kedusha. So what is the other possibility? Possibility number two is that even the Beis Yosef only holds that the Kinyan Nochri is Mafkia Kedusha Sapeiris, but the Kinyan Nochri is not Mafkia Kedusha Sakarka. Therefore, the Heter Mechira doesn't work because the Yid is not allowed to be Oved the Karka. And indeed, many poskim say that that is their problem with the Heter Mechira, because they learn that the Beis Yosef only says the Goy's Kinyan is Mafkia Peros, the Goy's Kinyan is not Mafkia Kedushas Karka. Now, if you go with that idea, first of all, without repeating what we talked about previous weeks, that gufa would depend on some of the Beis Yosef's reasons, but okay. If you go with that idea, then what does that mean practically? That actually means the only guy who's doing something wrong with the Heter Mechira is the farmer who's farming his land, and the Rabbanut, possibly for causing Lifnei Iver, by causing the farmer to sin, although if he would sin anyway, there's probably not a Lifnei Iver. But how does that affect me? Because if indeed we go like the Beis Yosef, that Peiros Nochri don't have Kedusha Shavias, and the only problem with the Heter Mechira is it's not Mafkia Kedusha on the land, so the Avarian is the farmer. The Avarian is not me. So what's my problem? Why can't I eat Heter Mechira based on that cheshbon? So there are two answers to that. There are two answers why there might be a Heter Mechira problem. In other words, I just want to know, why do I, as a consumer who does not plant or harvest or do anything, why do I have a problem with Heter Mechira? So there are three problems that I might have as a consumer. Problem number one is that if the Heter Mechira is not Mafkia Kedusha from the land, so the Yid who farms the land is over on Isurei Shavias, okay? So then there's a problem that some Rishonim say there's an Isser of Navad. I'm not allowed to eat produce that was produced by violating the Isurei Shemitah. And that's both Shomer and Shomer wouldn't be a problem because the Peiros don't have Kedusha. In other words, there's Shomer and Navad. But Shomer is not a problem because if the Peiros don't have Kedusha Shavias, they're not Shomer. But Navad is a problem. You're Ibid the Karka. So potentially that would be a problem, but once again, in spite of the modern books which are written under the Hashpah of Bnei Brak, the old minhag of Yerushalayim for hundreds and hundreds of years from the time of the Beis Yosef is that Navad b'dieved is mutar b'achila. So yes, if I hold that Mechira l'Nochri is not Mafkia Kedusha, the Yid that farms is over on Avedas Karka. But the fact that he's Aver and Avedas Karka, that's not going to be a problem for me. So that's not a problem. What is the problem? So the problem would be this. To buy the produce, financially, indirectly support farmers who are violating, might be an Isser of Machzikin Ovrei Averis, that you're not allowed to buy produce from people who are violating Shemitah, because you're giving chizuk to Ovrei Averis, so that would be a problem. So according to that svara, you would not be allowed to buy Heter Mechira produce. But if somebody else bought it, and you're simply a guest in their home, based on this svara, I'll mention some other svaras, based on this svara, you could freely eat the peiros. And not only could you eat the peiros, But you wouldn't even, like this svara, I'll give you other svaras, you wouldn't even have to eat them b'kedusha shavias, because legabe, the kedusha of the peiros, we go like the Beis Yosef, that the kinyan nochri is mafkia. In other words, b'kitzer, if your problem, now again, I'm going to mention other problems, but if your problem with Esher Mechira is simply the svara, that even if the kinyan nochri is mafkia kedusha sapeiros, the kinyan nachri is not mafkia kedusha sakarka, then the only problem you have with the heter mechira is your machazek yedei ovra yaveira, which if someone is giving it to you for matana and you didn't give any money for it, that's going to be okay. So school of thought number one says that even if you're not soymech on the heter mechira b'yetzem, you're not allowed to buy the peiros, but you are allowed to eat them. Some would say, however, if you're machmir on nevad, the peiros would be usher mitam nevad. Now, what about sapichim? In other words, if I don't hold of the heter mechira to be mafkia kedusha sakarka, so maybe vegetables would lagamri be usher vegetables, because or grain, because of sapichim. So here we actually say not sapichim is an isher drabbanan, and the isher drabbanan does not apply to peiros nachri. So even if I say, and again, if it doesn't have Kedusha Shavias, it doesn't have Sapichim. Remember, the Gabi, the Kedusha, even the Mabit would be Matcher, but like the Beis Yosef, for sure it's not a Shaila. Because Sapichim is not totally on Kedusha Sakarka, it's totally on Kedusha Saperis. So that would be school number one. So school number one actually takes the position, I'm not aware of any Pesach that says this Lamaisa, but in Lumdus, because Lamaisa were Cheshish for the other views, which I'll get to. School number one would say, okay, the heter mechira is not a matir of aveda sakarka, but the peiros are mufka mikdusha shviyas, and if they're mufka mikdusha shviyas, so memela there's no iser sapichim, and there's no iser achila, and I don't have to eat them mikdusha shviyas, which means I, as a guest, have no problem at all with it. The only problem would be. That if it's mufka mikdusha shavias, it's chayiv and trumas and maisras. And if you don't trust the rabbanut's hashgacha on trumas and maisras, you may have to separate trumas and maisras. Because remember, the rabbanut separates trumas and maisras, right? The rabbanut, if it's nigmar malacha biyad Yisrael, right? But if you're not soymech on it, okay.
Well, why is that a
Well, the Ovrei Aveira is not the Ovrei Aveira is not the person who's serving it to you. The Ovrei Aveira is the farmer. So basically the Avla is you're indirectly economically supporting the farmer by giving money. But if somebody already bought the food, and it's going to be served with you or without you, so for you to participate and eat the food is not called Mechazek Ovrei Aveira, because that food is in the house already. So the farmer has already gotten his money from it. See, at the... No. Well, when you go to a store...
He bought it from the farmer. You're buying it from him, and they already paid the farmer.
Well, first of all, maybe he didn't pay the farmer. That's one possibility. Maybe he got it on credit. But second of all, the concept is this. If the store doesn't get money for this stuff, then the store is going to stop buying the stuff. And if the store is going to stop buying the stuff, then Melo, the farmer, is going to have to...
So the same stuff,
I don't know if it's the same thing, though, because people buy things for their homes, and then they have guests. In other words, it's not always the case. It may be true for an institution. What you're saying might be honest for an institution, but for a house... You know, normally, if this is what I eat, I'm going to buy it whether I have a guest or don't have a guest. So it's not clear that there's an extra kenia that gets involved here. Now, this is svara number one. Again, that's why you have to be mazur. People just say without thinking, I don't hold to that mechira. Now, there is a svara number two. Svara number two is that since the farmer knows that it's just a joke, he can do what he wants, with it, and everything is going to be his. So the mechira bi'etzem is not a mechira b'leiv shalem. It's a harama. It's a trick. Now, if that's the case, it bribes as if the land still belongs to the yid. The mechira itself is batel. Now, it might be batel for two reasons. It might be batel because of the svara of chucha vitlula, which means it's a joke and there was no gemira stas for the mechira. Or it might be batel because since selling land to a guy, according to the machmirim, is an issur d'oraisa of lo sechanim, the Chazon Ish said, the mechira of the rabbanut, which is acting as a shaliach for the landowners, is ein shaliach l'dvar aveira. But if you go with this mahalach, either because of chucha vitlula, or because of lo sechanim and ein shaliach l'dvar aveira, it's not the pshat, it's a mechira, but it has kedusha. It is not a mechira bichlal. Now, if it's not a mechira bichlal, so again, the yid is being over avaydas karka, that's for sure. But it's going to have some more chumer implications. Number one, if it's not a mechira bichlal, let me just finish. If it's not a mechira bichlal, then number one, the peiros have kedushas shavias. Number two, the sapichim of vegetables and grain are going to be osur to eat. So, those paiskim who say that the problem with the heter mechira is that the mechira is batel, and again, two different possible reasons. One is mitam chucha v'tlula, and one is mitam lo sechanein, although l'chayra the rabbanut was misakin that, I'll get to that in a moment. So then, the consequences for a consumer are going to be much stricter. The consequences for me as a consumer is that whatever I eat, now I still can eat the peiros, fruits, I could still eat, b'kedusha shvias. That much I'll still have, but I would not be allowed to eat the bread or the vegetables at all, because if I treat it as growing b'rishus Yisrael, it would mamish have the din of sapichim. Because, right, grains that grew, certainly if I intentionally planted them, but even if they grew by themselves, there's an issur d'rabbanan to eat those things. Right? So it depends. So when you say you don't hold of the heter mechira, it depends what you're saying. Are you saying it is a valid mechira, but it's not mafkia kedushas karka? Or are you saying it's not a valid mechira? That's going to have a major, major nafkamina. Yeah.
On the first reason, that the Jew is working land that has kedusha.
Yeah. Yes, you are correct, and that is a factor. You're correct. That will, I call that a little bit of a political factor, but that's relevant in the halachic process. Meaning to say that even if something might on a one-to-one basis be permitted, you're correct. This is about it. The Chazon Ish, in fact, the Chazon Ish l'shitasa, the very Chazon Ish, who was a machmir about electricity, in large part because of Chilul Hashem, is condemned to heter mechira for that very reason, that to have a widespread, things that might be mutter for a yochid should not be mutter institutionalized. Yeah, that's correct. But the point I want to say is that you see that if I hold the mechira is not chal at all, then I'm going to have a problem with sapichin, and I'm going to have to eat the peiros b'kedusha shvi'it. That's the question. The question is, why are you so rough on this heter mechira thing? Because since the guy knows he could farm, he doesn't really sell b'leiv shalem, and then we're mekel, right, on mechira's chametz. Well, the emphasis, the high time of gufa, many, many people are machmir that they do not sell chametz d'oraisa through a mechira's chametz. Although ma'isa, the halacha clearly allows it, but many people say that whenever there's a cheshash b'al yirah d'oraisa, they will not be samech on mechira's chametz. If anything, only chametz gomer. But chametz gomer, that's not the taruvus. If it's in taruvus of different measurements, may also be batel min atzeirah. So you're right. But listen. I mean, all of these tainus people have. It's not that Rav Kook didn't think of them. Rav Kook, addresses them. He's matarets them. Some people are chaylik on the terutzim, etc. But Rav Kook was aware with the lo sechanim issue. He addressed be'arichas gomer. By saying that since this is a mechira l'tayelas, the yishuv, So for Keret, it's not a matnas chinam. We're doing it for a toelas and the like. But I just want to point out. What? Well, here's the kasha. Let me tell you a kasha. There is a kasha in Rav Kook. Rav Kook has many different swaras of Losei Chanim. One swara is that it's only a mechira lizman, and Losei Chanim is only permanent mechira, not mechira lizman. That's one swara. The second swara, the Shas Hatzchak, is some Rishonim say Losei Chanim only applies to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the Arabs are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Again, that's B'daychid, such a swara. So, Mechira Lizman, Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The third swara is that Lo Seichanem, the Torah asers, because by giving Goyim a presence in Eretz Yisrael, you're weakening the Yishuv HaYehudi. There's a swara that here, Fakert, if by selling it to the Goy, we will allow Yidden to make a bigger Parnassa, so that's considered to be building the Yishuv, right? So, there are different swaras. Now, Rav Kook brings a Ran. Now, it's really it's a strong kasha and his raya. The Ran says like this. The Ran asks the kasha, Rabbi Eliezer was Meshacher es Avdei to be mitzvah him for a minyan. Aye, the kasha is, call him Meshacher es Avdo over, Nebuchadnezzar, over Biasei, Leolam Bohem Tavaydu. So the Gemara's answer is mitzvah shiny. So the Ran says, what do you mean mitzvah shiny? First of all, tefillah b'tzibur is not a doraisa. And being meshacher sabzei is a doraisa. And even if tefillah b'tzibur would be a doraisa, it's one assay against another assay, so shevi al tase. Why are you allowed to be over b'yadaya? So listen to what the Ran says. The Ran says, when the Gemara says mitzvah shiny, it doesn't mean the assay is docha the assay. It means that the Isra of Lo Sechanein, the Isra of Meshacher Es Avdei is like Lo Sechanein. Just like the Torah says, don't give a matnas chinam to an Oved Avodah Zarah. So don't be Meshacher an Eved because you're giving him a matnas chinam. So Zakhtaran, if the reason you're Meshacher him is not for his Tayelas, it's for your Tayelas, it's not the Pshat. One assay is daicha, the other assay. There is no violation of li'aylam bahem ta'vaydu because it's not a matnas chinam. That's the Ran. This is the Ran in Gittin. Zakhtrath Kut. Ah, so we see that it's not called a matnas chinam if you're doing it for your tayelas, lo sechanein. So in Mele here, we're selling it to the guy for our tayelas. But there's a pella on the raya. Because we have two different drushes for Lo Seichanim. There's an isser to give a guy matnas chinam, and there's an isser to sell him land. Now, obviously, whenever you sell him land, you're getting money from it. In other words, like this. The Ran is only giving me a svara on the isser of matnas chinam. The isser of matnas chinam is to give him a gift. So if it's for my tayelas, it's not a gift. But that can't be a swara to matir mechiras karka, because every case of mechiras karka, you're getting money. And the Torah still answers it. In other words, Rav Kook is using the swara that the Ran says on the isser of matnas chinam, and Rav Kook is applying it to the isser of chaniya bakarka. But the Ran's swara obviously doesn't work for Chaniya Bakarka, because if you're going to say that Svara, then every Mechira should be, forget about Shemitah, every Mechira. I'm doing it because I want the money. Right, so that's a Tzorichian. Okay, but Rav Kook has, you know, Kama Vakama Svara, as they say, the Arab thing, Mechira Lizman, etc. But I want to point out one thing, and we'll stop here, and that is like this. The Chazon Ish said a whole bunch of things, Achil Hashem, but the Chazon Ish did say, not only is there an Isser of Lo Sechanim, but the Chazon Ish held, Als Ein Sholiach L'Dvar Avera, the Mechir is Batal, and that's why you have the second idea that there's Nisr Sapichim and the like. So I do want to point out that last Pina, the Rabbanut was actually Misakin, because the original way the Heter Mechira worked was just like Chametz. The farmers would make the Rabbanut their shaliach to sell to the guy. So the Chazon Ish Tainis, ein shaliach l'dvar aveira, so the mechir is batal. They changed it now. What they do now is, I believe, the farmers are, before Shemitah, are makne their land to the Rabbanut. They don't make the Rabbanut. See, if I want you to sell property for me, there are two different ways I can do it. I can make you a shaliach to sell my property, or by kinyan chalipin, or kesef, I could be makne you the lands. Chametz is the same way. So when you're selling the land, you're not selling the land as a shaliach. You're selling the land as a bailam. So the Rabbanut, I believe, it's very hard to find the actual documents of this mechira. I don't know why everything in Israel is a big secret. You can't get kashrus information. Everything is a black box here. But I believe, I heard that Rav Yitzchak Yosef, Rav Ravadia's son, was actually misaking that the mechira should not be done through shalichas. The mechira should be done by hakna. Now that's very interesting, because that does take away, it doesn't take away the Yisra. It doesn't take away the Yisra. Again, it's not a mantra of the Yisra of Losei Chodesh. No, they're gaining a lot. That's correct. No. Listen, obviously the people who do it maintain like Rav Kook, but they want to say this. Because there's a big taina, because at least they want to say, they want to be able to say to a Chazei Nishniker that even if this mechira is sinful, it is still valid to be mafkia kedushas shavias. So l'chol ha'pachas, that's a hatzalah porta. That would take off the... Yeah, they're basically saying that this would not asr sapichim, etc., and the like. I mean, they're trying to create a situation for the consumer where they won't be nikshal in a possible isr sapichim. Okay, so, but the chuchu tlula argument is still here, that the mechir is not belev shalem and the like. Okay? Well, yes, that's correct. That's correct. But obviously those who do it take the position. I mean, they're going to depth stock.